Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi.
Yes, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi. A podcast in which three men, all of whom can be described as mercenary to some degree or other, read science fiction books, aka audiobooks, also fantasy books and other books.
We like books.
Books are things. We like things.
I could also read books for money like a mercenary.
Yes, we're willing to accept that. Just find us and give us money, but don't find us. Anyway.
Satisfaction is not guaranteed.
By anyone, ever, really. So anyway, today we are talking about The Warrior's Apprentice by Lois McMaster Bujold. This was my pick, so I read the back of the book. Discharged from the Barry Aaron Academy after flunking the physical, a discouraged Miles Vorkosigan takes possession of a jump ship and becomes the leader of a mercenary force that expands to a fleet of treasonous proportions.
My favorite thing about that is there's no spoilers whatsoever in there.
it is basically the entire story.
It's a great executive summary.
Yes, exactly. So, Kevin, what did you think of this?
I actually liked it. It was a little bit slow starting, and there's a lot of coincidences in certain characters' favors. But overall, I enjoyed it. It was a fun book.
Okay. Barry, what did you think?
Meh. Which okay. I think is now in the dictionary, by the way.
Meh.
Yes. Yes, it is. So I read this book probably first about 10 years ago. I forget exactly when, but so this is considered a classic science fiction series. It won the Hugo for best series last year, I believe. And
right. That was a new category, right?
Yep. That was the new category, or it, you know, hadn't been awarded for a while. And, I was worried that I wouldn't like it as much on this read because I remembered it being a little bit uneven, but I really did like it. And I think for me, it sort of hinged on the character of Miles Vorkosigan, who is sort of like, you know, Peter Dinklage's character on Game of Thrones on, you know, on acid or speed or both at the same time, because he's this charismatic determinator, you know, super smart, just, you know, and his whole thing is forward momentum. And yes, he is in some ways kind of an overwritten, super smart, you know, over the top, larger than life character. And whether you find him fun or not is going to determine whether you like the series.
Right, it is kind of like Tall Tales in space, where he just gets really, really lucky, and, you know, he rolls natural 20s like every other time.
It kind of reminded me of the main character from, you know, Planet of Adventure, who just sort of, you know, looks through on everything or happens to have like the right skill at the right moment for, you know, every possible situation.
Yeah, although, I mean, we can get more into that in the discussion section. I mean, there was that one that I keep on calling Planet of Narrative Convenience that we never actually recorded that one. And it's probably best that I am not pinning it on a particular book. But that was one where the guy just happened to know every possible, you know, happened to know the obscure language that he needed to talk to this alien race where, you know, Miles, yes, he gets really lucky, but the goal that he winds up with was not foreordained from the beginning. It may have been by the author, but, you know, he didn't start out and say, you know, what I've dreamed of my entire life is owning a mercenary company.
Yeah, it was very much kind of bumbling from one, you know, thing to the next and, you know, just trying not to get killed or something.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, that's true. There wasn't like, you know, he didn't have this plan in mind. He just kind of wanted to not be a complete failure.
Right. On the other hand, there are some rather dark moments in the series that either add to it or take away from it as people's preferences. I found it a little bit, there's a whole torture sequence that I thought was a little bit harder to read these days than maybe it could have been back in the day. So more or less, I'm still a fan, and I'm not entirely sure. As usual, I may not have started us reading a series at the best point, because this is not necessarily the beginning of the series, but it's the major introduction of Miles, who is largely the main character of the series. But then, of course, there's books about all of his friends, books about his parents, probably books about his descendants. I don't know.
But there's no cats in this book.
Not that I recall, no. Anyway... All right. Well, I think we're coming up to the blockade before the wormhole. That'll take us to the review section. So everybody act meek, super meek. We shall return, for we are sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Pew, pew, pew.
So welcome back to the discussion section for The Warrior's Apprentice by Lois McMaster Bujold. Yeah, well, of course, we had a range of opinions on this book. So what did you think of Barry? What did you think of Miles as a character?
I guess, I mean, he does seem to have some skills, but he also seems to be exceptionally lucky, which I don't know if you want to consider a skill or whatnot, but like you said earlier, he just sort of, it's all about his forward momentum.
Right.
You know, so it just seems like he's just making decisions to me off the cuff. And it's, you know, like Kevin said, he just rolls a nat 20 every time.
Right.
And I guess I just, it got a little old for me.
Like, sure.
After about the halfway point.
Yeah, they definitely had like, you know, downtime parts for that were like, you know, it took them all to figure out what to do next and, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, even at that point, he was sitting there sort of just like sort of complaining about the, you know, and I think I'm just kind of like overly focusing on the things I didn't like about the character. But, you know, he spends a lot of his time like sort of complaining about the administration of his, you know, marauder fleet or something. I was like, well, you know, could be worse. You could be like the space janitor, in which case, you know, you might be the guy that has to turn the key to stop the nuclear bomb. But that's throwback to our.
But
previous podcast.
What complaining are you referring to?
There were some points where he was sort of just like, you know, spending a lot of time fixating on like how to pay for things. And then, mm-hmm. you know, at one point, you know, I didn't realize this book was originally written in the 80s.
Right.
There was one point in particular where he was sort of mentally whinging about like who actually owned the fleet of spaceships that he had, which was like the Bank of Jackson Hole, I guess.
Right. Jackson's Hole.
Yeah. Jackson's Hole, which I guess is
disturbing,
not, which is not Jackson Hole, Wyoming or no, wherever it is, but
it's a pun off of that, but it's basically Nevada. I mean,
is it Nevada or is it Wyoming?
No. What I'm saying is it's the place Jackson's Hole in this universe is the place where there are no laws against anything.
Yeah. And then he was kind of saying like, oh, maybe I'm, you know, sort of unwittingly, you know, supporting, you know, blood diamonds or, you know, right. white slavery. And I'm like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, is white slavery worse than any other type of slavery?
Did he actually say white slavery?
He did.
Oh, okay.
I actually made a...
It's in the 1980s. Yeah, there are some problematic aspects.
I did not realize that at the time of reading. I was just sort of at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just turn the book off for now for a while. And
you know, I mean...
I might have cut it more slack if I had known at the time, but some of the humor and stuff, I guess, just didn't agree with me, which is kind of a rarity considering it's probably more in line with my usual humor.
I mean, they're called the Barry Aarons after all.
Yes, thank you. I'm also kind of curious that if, I don't know if you guys have read more of the books in the series. I think you have, Stephen.
Yeah, I've read quite a few of them.
I'm wondering if I would enjoy the series more if I kind of knew what was coming down the road.
You might. Basically it continues to follow Miles very closely, and sometimes he's used in different ways. Sometimes he's used like as a detective investigating something, and the mercenary fleet is more off to the side.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a military drama where he has to figure out, you know, the way out of some sort of military problem. Sometimes it's a rescue mission. It's kind of whatever is needed for the plot line. And actually at one point it actually turns into a Regency romance. And all of the characters develop like British accents for reasons I never quite figured out.
It was in vogue.
It was just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was actually specifically doing almost a parody, or at least a reference to a romance writer that she particularly liked. So she was basically doing a Regency romance on that one.
So sort of like the Deep Space Nine holodeck, you know, episode.
Not exactly.
She's
no.
doing her own fanfic. Like.
No, I mean, it's actually, you know, on Barriar, and it's Miles getting married, basically. And, you know, all of the... So... Basically, then you no longer have quite so many guns in space and more, well, does he love me or not kind of thing.
Guns in space.
It's the recoil that you have to watch out for.
Okay.
Well, you can't shoot pigs because that's just wrong. So you can shoot guns though, right?
Wait, do you mean actually shooting
ring toes?
Do you mean actually shooting pigs with bullets or shooting pigs out of cannons?
Moving on. So yeah, the setting on Beriar, we don't spend a lot of time on Beriar, but it's this kind of strange place where it's kind of old world European military.
Yeah, that was actually the one thing at the very beginning that kind of confused me. And I don't think they ever really resolved exactly how that made sense. He said that his grandfather started out like in the cavalry or something.
Right.
And, you know, there was a, you know, major, you know, classes kind of stuff back then. But, and I'm like, so were they not spacefaring at that point?
Well, they're an Earth colony, but I think that they started out sort of battling each other.
Space horses.
Space horses.
No, not space horses.
Okay.
This is the weirdest My Little Pony fanfic I've ever seen.
Come, space horse. I need your help. You can do it, Steven.
Oh, good. But you don't know what it is.
As long as you try your best, it's okay.
Okay, then come here.
Yes.
Where was I? Okay, so yes. So my impression is that they were settled as an Earth colony, and then they kind of fell back a little bit. And so they gradually sort of climbed out of the Dark Ages and are now a space-going civilization again. But I'm not sure that they ever lost the technology. It's kind of like, well, the United States, we used to have a space program that sent people into orbit all the time, and now...
We could do that if we wanted to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe.
Some of us want to.
Uh-huh. Some people just want to send other people into space.
You mean like the pig cannon?
Wee. Thank you for making that impossible for me to edit out. All right. So, you know, we were talking earlier about Miles's forward momentum. And to me, that's sort of the charm of the series is he didn't really, from my perspective, set out to get a mercenary company. He, no. You know, yes, it's unlikely he shouldn't have survived this, but maybe that wouldn't have been an interesting story. It's sort of, he does start with, you know, he starts with a really powerful companion, you know, Sergeant Buthari.
Right.
He's got, you know, he sort of runs into people that can solve problems for him. But if he had started out saying, you know, what I really want is to run my own mercenary company, is that so wrong? And then basically got one handed to him like this, then I would find that really unsatisfying. But, you know, sometimes I see a little echo in him as to, you know, what has happened to me sometimes with science fiction conventions where you try to solve one problem and it, you know, keeps on popping up with another thing and another thing. And before you know it, you're, say, running a science fiction convention. I mean, a mercenary fleet.
I didn't mean to. It just happened.
Exactly.
So it is kind of like My Little Pony. He goes around giving people advice and encouraging them, and then they do their best.
I mean, sometimes he is actually, you know, yes.
You guys aren't helping me appreciate this book any more than I did before.
Does Kevin ever help with these things? I wasn't aware of that.
Sometimes.
So you could sing The Warrior's Apprentice to that theme song.
You're really not doing well.
You seem deeply focused on the MLP.
I don't know. You brought it up. Or Steve did.
Okay, moving on yet again. Okay, so the one thing that I really didn't like very much was he manages to get aboard this other ship through torturing somebody.
Yes.
And granted, that was to survive, but point A, you know, I think that nowadays we've been through a lot more about torture than we had back in the 80s, and we'd had more of a national conversation as to whether or not that's a good thing or not.
I mean, it's not like torture was ever a good thing, but...
Right. Well, I'm not saying that...
We've explored, like as you said, we've sort of explored it as a national pastime now.
Yeah.
It's not quite baseball, but...
And so Miles sort of, it's described as a really negative thing and Miles takes responsibility for it. But I thought that that was really a very dark section of the book. And sure. I'm not entirely sure what I think of it because, yeah, torture does happen in military conflict. And Bothari is depicted as somebody who was a monster.
Wasn't at one point it was pointed out that, you know, he doesn't actually attack the women himself, but has someone else do it for him. And he just sits there and watches.
Oh, no. Bothari was one of the people that was the cutout, was the person that did the rape for this other guy.
Okay. So I had the two of them confused the other way around. Yeah.
Well, everybody has names that start with Vor, so it can get a little confusing. But Bothari was sort of a pet torturer. And then in some of the previous books, he wound up on the right side of things, basically. He was under Miles's dad's command, and it was one of those things where, oh yeah, Bothari, he hates me so much that he is one of my best soldiers, was one of his lines. Just like, he'll never shoot me in the back, so I have no trouble leading him into battle, but he hates me completely.
If he was going to shoot me, he'd shoot me from the front.
Exactly.
That's reassuring.
So
I'm aiming for your face.
They're not necessarily pulling punches on outing Bothari as a monster, but then again, Miles is using him as a torturer to win this battle. And also, torture is portrayed as very effective.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what the message there was, where it's like, well, sometimes you just got to do that in war. Right. Otherwise, it's like, well, that versus everybody dying, or, you know, it wasn't like a clean resolution, really.
Right. And
well, it's sort of a weak justification. Like, sure. I think now that, you know, like you said, as a nation, we've had that conversation, right? There's not a good way to justify that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that particular scene has aged that well. I don't think that, you know, is enough to tank the rest of the book for me, but it kind of takes away from the sort of happy-go-lucky boy's own adventure that it starts out as.
Right.
And then, but it's fine that it's a novel with some dark moments in it. Okay, let's see. So was there any tea?
I don't think so. There was lots of hip flasks.
Yeah. Miles was, you know, drinking away at something that I thought somebody claimed it was creme de menthe at some point or something like that, but I couldn't find any reference to it.
There was whatever, you're talking about whatever that the jump ship pilot was drinking.
Right.
It was like squeezins.
Yes. Squeezins. It's just like a futuristic version of Sterno.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it was, seemed to give Miles terrible ulcers later on.
Well, I think he said it was basically like some kind of alcohol mixed with the stimulant so that it would keep him awake.
Yeah, not a good thing to give Miles, who actually in later novels we learned that he has idiosyncratic reactions to a lot of drugs.
I see.
Okay. Did anybody have any favorite scenes or scenes that stood out?
I don't know that it's like a standout scene, but I thought it was kind of funny. Was the tiny section where it was one of the other ship captains, and somehow it comes up that this ship captain sort of worships Miles' dad as this like military historian. And he's like, this, you know, he goes on and on about how great this was. And he's like, oh, you've met him? He's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, he doesn't want to give away who he is. So
it's just like, well, yeah, he's my dad.
Don't know him at all.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in terms of cover identities, you know, Miles Naismith from, you know, the Dendari Mountains, which is a place on Beriar. He's not
I'm
really,
sorry, this name is killing me.
I know. Beriar, land of the berries.
There's like a bunch of me there. What can go right?
Berry statues on, you know, on horses and stuff like that.
We shall refer to you as Vorberry.
That
sounds more like something you eat than
it's delicious.
It just makes me think of Babylon 5 for some reason.
Well, that's what, Centauri, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Do you think of me as
actually I wasn't saying that, but I think this culture kind of reminded me of of that culture, but
yeah, kind of bit. I mean, yeah,
it's an empire, and it does have a lot of sort of old world features to it.
Yeah, and there's a strong undercurrent of, you know, what seems to be, you know, sort of like arrogance.
Yes, right. There's a sequence towards the end where one character pulls out a gun and aims it at another in the middle of the Beriaran High Assembly or whatever it is.
Right.
And they say, only on Beriar would there be a rush when somebody pulls out a gun to, you know, run towards that person. And it's one of the interesting parts about the series is that Miles's mother is from Beta Colony, which is far more of a Star Trek type of future, at least the way that I think of it. It's kind of a Brave New World kind of place. Well, without the mind control. I mean,
it's a little bit of mind control.
Well, I mean, but it's,
it's a, if you do anything illegal, then you've been, you're re-educated.
Right. So it's kind of a technocracy where, oh, okay, you want to be, you know, you want to switch from a man to a woman. It's actually a little bit like the culture.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, there are, it is not depicted as perfect, but it is a little bit more like my idea of a science fiction future in some ways.
Well, yeah, it's certainly much more of a high-tech future rather than, you know, Beriar, which is sort of like a feudal version of our, feudal of the D, not a T, version of our... Of,
resistance is feudal. You shall all work the Borg's land.
Yes. Give me your crops. But yeah. Yeah, it's more of, very much more of like a feudal version of science fiction future, but it's a little bit more low tech. You know, they've invested more in weapons than pretty much anything else, it seems like.
Right. And one of them runs around with a sword stick, which is considered cool. And Miles has his grandfather's dagger. Which, you know, I can sort of imagine it's just like, this is my grandfather's multi-tool.
Right. So it's the Klingon Empire.
Exactly. I mean, it's got a certain Klingon aspect to it. Because yeah, it's a, you know, it's a warrior culture of sorts.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that Miles keeps on having is he's in this warrior family, you know, this, and he basically has, you know, if you drop him, he breaks.
Well, right. That was, I mean, that's the thing that makes his character more interesting is it's like, he's not a warrior. You know, he's what his mother survived an assassination attempt directed at his father, I guess.
Right.
And so
somebody
like,
threw a toxic gas grenade at them when yeah. she was pregnant.
And so, you know, he's basically at the beginning of the book, they basically, you know, this other recruit in the military was saying, well, don't they have, you know, some treatment you can have? He's like, sure, I've had a whole, you know, bucket of treatment. That's why I'm not like, you know, basically being carrying around, you know, in a bucket or something like that. You know, I can actually kind of hobble around with these like crutches kind of things.
Yeah, he had like leg braces or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was trying to take the physicals at, you know, it sort of sounded like a boot camp.
Yeah.
That sequence was sort of interesting because it made Miles not a complete Mary Sue because he has flaws. For example, he might have been able to get through that obstacle course if he had climbed down.
Right, but he would just like, you know, I had too much pride, basically, or right. I got kind of ruffled and by the guy staring at him up there.
Right, so he kind of, you know, lost his temper and decided to jump. And, of course, the natural reaction is skronk.
Yeah, you know, he's just like, both his legs.
Exactly.
And basically, you know, all of his bones are sort of brittle, right?
Right.
Is sort of what the handicap was at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing I like about the book, you know, that kind of makes it at least, you know, interesting overall is that it's like he gets these situations and he sort of thinks his way through them. And, you know, he's definitely very lucky, but it ends up that it's like, you know, brains over brawn.
Right. So the final sequence in the book, the epilogue, was him actually just being in training again. And having learned from his experiences with the military, he passes everything with flying colors. And I'm a little back and forth on it, but I really did like that sequence because it showed that instead of losing his temper this time, he just figured out exactly what needed to be done and executed it without thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, he's learned from his past mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it literally bookends, you know, the first end, you know, the first part of the book where he is impulsive and does things, you know, emotionally.
Right.
You know, so now you know, it shows the growth of the Miles character to me, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Of course, he's still definitely showing off in that sequence, but...
Oh, sure.
You know, he has gone through a character arc.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anybody else have any memorable scenes? Nope.
Hold your tongue, tongue.
Yeah,
you like that. The most notable line in the entire book for me.
All right. And then who would you want to be and or who would you be? I would probably go for Engineer Jessic, who is an engineer and winds up with Elena. So cool.
I guess I pick Miles. just for longevity's sake.
You want to run your own fleet?
I'll stumble into one or something, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd be someone on Beta Colony.
Beta Colony would be a good choice. Yes, I will say that Miles's luck doesn't hold out to this degree for the rest of the series.
Oh, now you tell me.
Well, it looks like we're about to be boarded, but hey, I know how to handle this. Hey, you with a gun. Would you like a podcast interview? Whoa, okay, maybe not. Anyway, we will probably return, for we are sci-fi.
Sci-fi?
Sci-fi.